All right, glad to see every one of y'all, and I hope that y'all had a great, had a wonderful day, and how good it is to be gathered together with the saints on this evening here to learn from the Word of God and to be able to fellowship with one another. I want to say that I'm thankful to the elders for this privilege, for this opportunity, rather, to present a lesson to y'all on this evening. And so we've been dealing with this month topics concerning more about. And we've looked at lessons ranging all the way from the Garden of Eden. And then on next Wednesday is when Mr. Braswell is going to finish up this series. And that's going to be all the way till the second coming of Christ. And so we have from beginning to end, more about. And this evening, we're going to be looking over a lesson called More About Grace. And as the scripture readings were from 2 Timothy, so also is this lesson text from. And I also want to say real quick before we begin, I'm glad to see some visitors here. And it's good to see the cheeks. Where are they at? I seen them. The cheeks, okay, there they are. They're coming in from out of town. Glad y'all made it safely here. If y'all could please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And so we have heard five different scriptures being read this evening, and all those passages, they show us the four different times in which grace is mentioned in the book of 2 Timothy, which is all the times that it's mentioned there. And when we get right here to the beginning of this epistle, well, let's see what it reads. Let's see what it reads. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And so again, we had five different speakers reading four different scriptures. And right here, this epistle opens with three different important words: grace, mercy, and peace. And when you read most of the New Testament epistles, they only say grace and peace. The only exceptions is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, 2 John, and Jude. And Jude is different. It doesn't say grace, mercy, and peace. It actually says mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And so there's something different about these four epistles, the way that they begin. Now, let's define our word. What does grace mean? So when you think about grace, it indicates favor on the part of the giver. They're showing this kindness. And it shows thanks on the part of the receiver. You're being thankful for this favor extended to you. And some synonyms are favor and kindness. Favor and kindness, simply said right there. And so right here, we have the first mention in this second verse of the word grace. It says, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. Now, what is this saying whenever we take into consideration the meaning? And I also encourage you to go look at the definition. So whenever we think about this, in other words, Paul is saying grace or favor be upon you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, my dear son in the faith. That is, in other words, what he's saying. Favor be upon you, my son. And when you think about the background of 2 Timothy, this is near the end of this apostle's life. He writes there in the last chapter, he says, "For the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." He says, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also unto all them that have loved his appearing." Question, have we loved his appearing? Now, with that being said, let us continue to read through this passage. Let's start at verse 3. Let's start at verse 3. Now it says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears." And I want to pause right there. So we remember that Timothy, he was first brought along on a missionary journey. And it was going to be Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke who were going to go on this missionary journey. And they were going to establish the congregation there at Philippi. And whenever Saul or Paul had heard about him, that is Timothy, he was well reported of by the brethren. And so he took him along and he had him circumcised because of those Jews that were in the area. So Timothy, he had been there early in the life or the whenever Paul was on his missionary journeys, for lack of better words. And now it's coming to the end of his life. And he says right here that he is remembering Timothy's tears. Timothy had become dear to him, and now he's about to depart from this life unto the next. And Timothy is going to be, well, without his father in the gospel, if you will. Now, let's continue to go on. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, of discipline." Verse 8, he says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." And notice what he did. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says, "To which I was appointed a preacher, a apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." It says, for these reasons, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. What did Paul committed to God the Father? Well, I'd say that 1 Peter 4:19 sheds some light on this. It says, "Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him, unto God the Father, as unto a faithful creator." And he was telling Timothy to do the same. When you think about the overall thrust of this book, it's suffering. It's enduring for the cause of Christ. And in this passage, we find the second mention of the word grace is there in verse 9, about how God, he's the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. It says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Notice the location of this grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. And whenever you look at this book, there's five things that are in Christ Jesus, and I actually have them here written on the board. According to the very first verse, it's the promise of life. You also learn about grace being in Christ Jesus. You also learn about faith, love, and then salvation being in Christ as well. Now, as we continue to read, Let's go to verse 13. And notice what the scripture says here. He says, this you know, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Hold fast to the gospel, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing that was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And then he goes on to tell him that he knew that those in Asia, they had turned away from him, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And then he says, the Lord grant mercy unto the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But whenever he arrived in Rome, he sought him out zealously and found him. And he says, may the Lord grant to him in that day that he might find mercy of the Lord. And then we get to chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And notice what the scripture says here. Paul, he's writing to his son in the faith. He says, you, therefore, my son, be strong in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Right here in verse 1, we find the third mention of the word grace. And notice where it's at. It's in Christ Jesus. And he says to be strong, literally to be empowered by this grace. How can we be empowered by grace? Is the question that I had asked myself. Well, in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, we learn him saying these words. In 1 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 12, he says, and I thank God, It slipped my mind. Yep. It says verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus who hath enabled me. Right there. That's the strengthening. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an injurious man, he says, howbeit for this reason I also, he said, he obtained mercy, that in him first Christ Jesus might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. When we think about grace, it's found in Christ Jesus. And Paul, he would write there in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, therefore, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Christ is the source of our strength. That's where we can be strengthened with might in the inner man. And so let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And notice right here what the passage says again. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We can be strong in the favor that we have in Christ. And we don't have to be afraid about death anymore. We don't have to be afraid about having our past sins held against us. They've been cleared. We've had that slate wiped clean. We can be empowered by the life that we have in Christ, and how we ought to be thankful to God for that. When thinking about this lesson, there were some lyrics of a song that had came to mind. And I'm thankful for Mrs. Smithy, because she actually helped me find the hymn. It's titled, His Grace Reaches Me. And in the chorus of this song, it says, His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me. And 'twill last through eternity. And I'm happy. It says, now I'm under His control. And I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace reaches me. If God's grace could be able to reach Paul, who was the chief of sinners, how much more so we? And this morning, as I was driving back from the store, I turned on KWOJ and I caught the tail end of a song. And I'm thankful that I did, because it reminded me about this lesson right here. And in the third stanza of the hymn called The Love of God, we find these wonderful words. It says, could we with ink the ocean fill and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And so when we think about the love of God, when we think about the grace of God, oh, how we ought to be thankful for it, as Victor was teaching us to be thankful in his lesson this past Sunday morning. Now let's look at the fourth and final mention of the word grace. It is going to be there in 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse, let's do verse 16. Verse 16, and then we'll continue on. And keep in mind that prior, Paul was telling Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. And he said that Demas had forsaken him, loving this present world, and had departed to Thessalonica. He says, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. And he said, only Luke is with me. And then he goes on to say right here, At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all men forsook me. May not be charged against them. He said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. He said, also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he closes off this letter and he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace be with you. Amen. And so we had at the beginning grace and a greeting. And then we had grace in Christ. And now we come to the end and we have grace in a salutation. And so these are some, whenever you think about the word salutation, it's just like some words written by way of welcome. In this case, it's by way of farewell. He's wishing him the best. He's saying, the favor of our Lord be upon you, my son. And he's about to depart from this life, possibly to see Timothy one last time before he does. And so how strengthening this letter must have been to him. And we can also find strength in it today. We can be made strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will pick back up for the invitation. Thank you.